This morning, the lesson is, in everything, give thanks. And we've talked about that a little bit in class this morning, but we want to expound upon that a little bit now and really dig into what the importance of thanksgiving is. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, Paul writes this, "See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now we talked about in our class this morning the fact that it is rare for a verse to just come right out and obviously say that a particular thing is God's will for you. And that's what happens here in verse number 18. He says that we need to give thanks in everything. Now, not necessarily for everything. We know bad things happen, but even in the midst of those bad circumstances, we still need to give thanks to God. I'm reminded one of the elders in Butler while I was there. His son was about 19 years old, was off at college, and they had stopped, him and some friends, they had been out, and they stopped at a gas station to get some gas, and there was a drive-by shooting, and his son was shot and killed in that drive-by shooting at that gas station. And I remember the first time I saw him after those events, and went to talk with him, and the first thing that he said was, "God is good." Even in the midst of just having his son murdered meaninglessly by a drive-by shooting, he said, "God is good." And that's the kind of attitude that God wants us to have, that no matter what is happening in our lives, no matter how negative things may seem, that we still thank Him. And that we still honor Him because of who He is. That is His will for us. And it is, as I said, rare for the Bible to specifically mention something being God's will. And yet it mentions that giving thanks in everything is God's will for us. Now you might say that those other things that come before that, rejoice always and pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, that all three of those things are things that are specifically mentioned as being God's will for us. But for this week, we're just going to focus in on that last one, in everything give thanks. Do we have an attitude of appreciation or of grumbling and complaining? Are we positive or negative? Optimistic or pessimistic? Is our emphasis on the good or the bad? You know, we often ask, well, are you the glass is half empty kind of person or the glass is half full kind of person? Put in the little handout this morning that really we've got to change our way of thinking on that. Every glass that I've ever seen, and I've seen a lot of glasses in my life, not this kind, but the kind that you drink out of. Hopefully you don't drink any alcohol out of them, but water glasses, tea glasses, whatever, those glasses. I've seen a bunch of them, and I bet you have too. And you know what? You've never seen an empty one. You've never seen one that was half empty or one that was half full, because every single one of those glasses is completely full all the way up to the top. Now, some of them may be full halfway up with water or tea or soda of some kind, and the other half may be air. Some of those glasses may be completely full of air all the way from the bottom to the top. Some of them may have ice in the bottom of it and air the rest of the way. But the fact of the matter is, every one of those glasses is full. The only way you could have a glass that was truly empty would be to take one out in space. And then you could have an empty glass. But you see, we've got to change our perspective. We've got to look at things with a different set of eyes. Look at things the way God wants us to look at things. And be looking with our emphasis on the good and the positive and not the negative. You see, God expects us to be thankful. That verse in and of itself makes it very clear when it says it is the will of God. That's what God wants. Now there are some different aspects to God's will, and maybe we'll study a little more deeply about God's will at a later time. There are some aspects of God's will that just are. They cannot be challenged. They cannot be changed. You can't do anything about it. It's just the way it is because He said it was that way. But then there are certain other aspects of God's will where it is what He wants, but not always what He gets. You see, what He wants for us is for us to be thankful in all things, in everything. At times of loss, at times of sadness, at times of pain, at times of suffering, as well as at times when the good and the blessings are overflowing and you know, when there's everything couldn't be better. But you see, sometimes we only are thankful to God when everything couldn't be better. And those times are rare in life. Most of us have probably only experienced that kind of a feeling a few times in our lives where, boy, not, it just doesn't get any better than this. There are a few times like that in life. But most of the time, even that joy is mingled with some concern, there's this over here that's still kind of putting a dark cloud or a shadow over that. And then there are other times where it's even darker clouds and stormy times in life, and it seems like everything that can go wrong, that could go wrong, does. And those are those times, too, that we still need to be thankful to God. We can still be there for Him. We're having financial problems. We're having health problems. We're having family problems. We're having career problems. We're having, we're losing loved ones and all of those things. And we still have to be thankful to God. Because that's what He wants for us. And yet so many times in this area, God does not get what He wants. But ultimately, we'll pay the price. There's a reason that this is what God wants for us. Do you think that God ever wants His children to have something less than the best? Well, no, of course not. He's our loving Heavenly Father. He only wants what's best for us. And so if He wants us to give thanks in everything, then there's a reason for that. It's because that's what's best for us. Not what's best for Him. He's not selfish. Now, does He deserve to receive thanks no matter what? Yes. But it's not because He's selfish and wants the glory and the thanks and the praise and those. That's not why. The reason is because it's good for us to have that attitude. Romans 1, 18 and 21 talks about the fact that the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. It says that although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. But they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You know, that's exactly what happens to us. When we don't have the proper attitude, we don't have a grateful spirit within us, our hearts get darker and darker. And that's one of the reasons that God knows that that's the case. And in addition to that, of course, His wrath is poured out against those who are ingrates, those who are ungrateful for their blessings. 2 Corinthians 4:15 also says, "For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." In this case, we see these people doing things that other people are thankful to God for the things that other people have done. It's good for us to thank God, but it's also good for us to be thankful for the things that people do for us. Ephesians 5, 3-4 says, "But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." We need to be giving thanks. That's what Christians, that's what saints should be doing, and we should be the saints of God. Ephesians 5:20 also says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to thank God for everything that He's given us. Think about the song that is printed. We didn't sing it this morning. We sang Count Your Many Blessings. If through the week you get tired of singing the song that's in there, you can always sing Count Your Many Blessings. That's a good one too. But we have that song, Strength Through Adversity, in our song book. It's, I think, number 702 or 704. 704 in our song books. And that song too, it talks about the fact that even the heartaches and the tears, the anguish and the pain, all of those, and talk about even those things, for the hills we had to climb and the stones that bruised over, we don't think about being thankful for those things. And yet all of those things, good and bad, that have come our way, have helped us to become the people that we are today. And they help us to become stronger. You know, muscles don't grow strong by resting them. By sitting on the couch will not make you stronger. But instead, they have to be exercised. And the same thing is true of our spiritual muscles. We've got to exercise them. And when we exercise them, I don't know if you've ever exercised much, but when you do, you get sore and it hurts. There's some pain sometimes involved with that. But you get stronger because of it. And it's that way with life as a Christian as well. We suffer some things. There's some painful times. But we get stronger as a result of it. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. With thanksgiving. Even when we are requesting something from God, even when we're asking for things, we need to be thankful. Thankful whether He answers that prayer by saying, yes, here it is. Thankful if He says, no, not yet, it's not time for you to have that. Thankful if He says, no, you can't have that at all. Whatever the answer, we need to be thankful anyway, even as we're asking for those things. Colossians 2, 6-7 says, as you've therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And then Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We need to be giving thanks. Whatever we do, we're supposed to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we're supposed to give thanks. We need to give thanks for our ability to be doing those things that we can do. Colossians 4:2 also says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Of course, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that is our verse for the week. And Hebrews 13:15 also. Therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. I want us to think about this one for just a moment, because sometimes we'll say, well, I am grateful. Are you really? Express it if you're grateful. Notice what He says. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Now, sometimes we think about praising God, we think about, well, we do that when we come together to worship and we sing songs of praise to God. But He doesn't say, wait till you come to church. He says, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. And then He explains what He means by that. That is the fruit of our lips. See, this isn't just an attitude in the heart. This isn't just a thought in the mind. It's coming out of our mouth. It's the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. You see, the only way anybody else will know that we're thankful to God is if we say so. That's the only way anybody's going to know. Now, I don't mean that we should be like some folks who every third word out of their mouth is, well, praise the Lord, thank God, every time, constantly. We don't have to say it all day, every day like that because if we do that at some point, then, you know, sometimes it just kind of becomes a routine and people are just saying it and they don't really even mean it. But we need to say it. We need to be thankful to God. And we need to express that. We need to tell other people, well, you know, I was thankful that Don and the twins were both okay after the birth. I had some concerns about how that was going to work out and what was going to happen. And I'm thankful to God that they're both, all three, healthy and safe and doing well. And we can be thankful and we can say, I'm thankful to God for these things. Sometimes we think, well, if I say that, people will think I'm a religious fanatic. We're supposed to be religious fanatics. You know, we don't have any problem being a fan of some sports team or some actor or actress or some other thing in life. Well, that's what it means, being a fan, a fanatic. But somehow we think, well, yeah, I can... Somebody was talking this morning about being... They were glad that Drew Brees finally signed. They may not have been glad about how much money they're having to pay him, but they're glad he signed with the Saints, and they're thankful for that. Well, that's good. And we're okay to say things like that. But are we thankful to God for things? And do we say that? See, we can speak that out as well. And let people think what they will. Remember, our job is not to please everybody else. Our job is to please God. And God's will, what God wants, is for us to be thankful to Him and to say it with our mouth and not be ashamed to speak it out. Well, God warns against grumbling and complaining. He warns against those things. 1 Corinthians 10:6-10. Now we talked about a little bit those children of Israel in the wilderness during class this morning. And here Paul tells the Corinthians about that. He says, now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. You see, even if complaining itself doesn't destroy you, God will destroy you for complaining. You ever notice that people who complain find all sorts of new things in their lives to get to complain about? Sometimes I wonder if God sends those things in their lives just so they have something to complain about. Those children of Israel got to complain about everything under the sun. And they complained about the sun too, I'm sure. Oh, it's hot out here. Why can't we have some rain? Yeah, I'm sure they complained about that too. The Bible talks about the number of times that they tested the Lord by their grumbling and complaining about Him. Galatians 5 and verse 15 says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Our attitude, we're just snarling at each other, always looking for the problem, always taking a bite out of somebody, always stabbing them in the back. We're biting and devouring at each other. God warns us against that kind of an attitude. Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15 says, do all things without complaining and disputing, without murmuring and complaining, without griping. We'll add some more words in there that are synonyms. But he says, without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Didn't Jesus say we're supposed to be the light of the world? One of the ways that we do that is by doing things, even unpleasant things, without complaining and arguing and disputing it and making a big scene over it. Just quietly do it. There are a lot of things in life that we have to do that are not the most pleasant of things to do. They're not things that we like to do. And yet we have to do them. Now, are we going to grumble and complain the whole time? Oh, I have to do this again. I hate doing this. Now, you know, it's one thing for us to say, you know, I really don't like doing this particular activity. But it's another thing for us to just constantly, the whole time we're doing, Mara, I wish I didn't have to be doing this. This is miserable. I wish I was somewhere else. I wish I could be doing something else and say, I hate being here. I wish I wasn't here. I wish I didn't have to do... That gets real annoying real fast, doesn't it? Well, it gets annoying to other people when they hear you complaining about it like that too. Whatever we have to do, we need to do it without complaining and disputing. Even if it's an unpleasant thing. And that will help us in being a light to the world. James chapter 5 and verse 9 says, "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." Do we realize how serious this attitude thing is? We've already seen that it's God's will for us to have an attitude of gratitude, to be thankful and give thanks. But now He says, don't grumble against one another, or you'll be condemned. The judge is standing at the door. I guess you might say he's eavesdropping. He's right outside the door and he's listening to hear what we say. And there he is. And he will judge us if we're griping about our fellow Christians. And you know why? Grumbling and griping about your fellow Christians, do you know what that is? That's letting Satan live in you. Because that's what Satan does. Satan is a false accuser. We saw that last Sunday night when we studied about Jesus' temptation. We studied about Satan there a little bit in that context. Satan is a false accuser. Satan is always trying to say bad things about good people. We don't want to be like Satan. We don't want to be grumbling and griping about the saints. We don't want to be accusing the brethren before God. See, that's the kind of thing Satan does. Jude chapter 1 and verse 16. I'm sorry, 1 Peter 4 and verse 9. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling or murmuring or complaining. Jude 1:16 says, "These are grumblers and complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage." It's interesting. They'll flatter this one group and talk bad about another group. And I bet you when they're with that other group, they flatter them and talk bad about the other one, don't you think? That's the kind of thing that kind of person does. They're grumblers and complainers, walking according to their own lusts. You see, when we let our fleshly lusts overpower us, that's when we get ourselves into trouble. Because that's when we start grumbling and complaining. Why did the children of Israel grumble and complain about the manna? Was the manna not nourishing enough for them? Well, no, it was nourishing them perfectly. God was sending them, and the Bible even says that it was angels' food. I mean, who's going to complain about getting to eat angels' food? Well, those people did. All 600,000 of them, griping and grumbling about being fed every day something that was perfectly adequate to supply the needs of their body. Why do you think they grumbled, though? It was the lust. It was the desire. It didn't have a variety of taste. See, they wanted something that tasted different. Well, we, you know, and we do that, don't we? I mean, we don't eat the same thing every day, every meal. We like a variety. We may have one thing for breakfast, something else for lunch, something else for dinner, and then the next day we do something different because we like a variety of flavors, don't we? But see, that's not necessary. We don't have to have all those wonderful flavors, and it's great that God created us with the ability to taste all those wonderful flavors, but we don't have to have that to survive. We could survive off of just a few little things, certain things that have the vitamins that we need to survive. But we don't like the taste of some of those things. We wouldn't want those all the time. But you see, it was their lust They were walking according to their own lusts. They desired something that tasted different, something that tasted better, something that pleased them instead of just something that satisfied their physical need. Well, some things to be thankful for according to the Bible. And this certainly by no means an exhaustive list of things to be thankful for, but this is a few things. God's goodness. Psalm 106 and verse 1 says, "O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." And as long as we're on that, God's mercy is there as well. But also in Psalm 136 verses 1 through 3, "O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. O give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever." Well, you know, did he have to say it three times to get it through our thick head that God wants us to be thankful for His mercy? Sometimes we're not. A particular person, sometimes someone will ask, "Well, how are you today?" And this person says, "Better than I deserve." And sometimes somebody will, "Well, I wish I was better than I deserve." You know what? Every single one of us is better than we deserve. What do we deserve? Well, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death and separation from Christ and an eternity suffering in the fires of hell. That's what we deserve. Aren't we all glad we haven't gotten what we deserve? See, that's God's mercy. He hasn't given us what we deserve. He's given us what we needed, which is forgiveness and grace. That's His mercy. Oh, we need to be thankful for that. His mercy endures. And it's good that it does endure, too. What if His mercy was just a one-time thing? He said, "You know, all right, you can come to me one time and say you're sorry, and I'll wipe out everything in the past. But that's it, just one time. That's it." Well, we'd all be in trouble again, wouldn't we? Because we'd used up our one time, and then we'd messed up again. And then there wouldn't be any more mercy. But the Bible tells us His mercy endures. Now, that phrase "forever" actually means to the end of the age. His mercy endures to the end of the age. And for those who obtain His mercy, it does even last on forever into eternity. Everlasting. But for those who don't get it, there will come a time when it's no longer offered. The offer of God's mercy has a time limit on it. It will not always be available. The judgment day will come and the time for mercy will be over. But those who have obtained that mercy will receive the benefits of it throughout the rest of eternity. God's supplying of our needs is another thing to be thankful for. Romans 14, 6 through 7 says, "For he who observes the day observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself." So a couple times in there he talks about giving God thanks for our needs, whatever he supplies, our food. Now, some of us may not eat a certain kind of food, and others may not eat another kind of food. But for the food that we do eat, we're thankful. And for most of us, we can be thankful that we don't have to eat that kind of food that we don't like. We get that choice. You know, not everyone gets the choice. Some people have to eat whatever is available. We can go to the grocery store and choose what we'd like to eat and get those things that we prefer. That's certainly something to be thankful for. But even if we had to eat something that we didn't like, we should be thankful that He's supplying our needs. He may not always supply all of our wants, but He does promise if we'll seek His kingdom first, He will supply all of our needs. We should be thankful for our fellowship, for our family of Christians. Acts 28 and verse 15, it says, "From there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Amphipolis and the Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage." And we talked in class this morning about the importance of encouraging each other to work at our Christian lives. And it's not enough to be encouraged one day out of the week. Not enough for just the preacher to stand up here and encourage you. We've got to encourage each other. We've got to constantly be building each other up, being thankful for each other, and letting each other know that we're thankful. One of the things that Paul did in so many of his letters was he started that letter off by telling those Christians how thankful he was for them. And many times he would mention a particular trait that they had that he was thankful for. We need to work toward that as well. Be thankful for the church. Be thankful for our fellow Christians. You know, we could be in a situation like Noah was where there aren't any. We can be thankful that we're not in that situation that he was in. Most of us probably wouldn't be able to survive in the situation he was in. We wouldn't be able to remain faithful. We need some encouragement. We need some spurring on from another Christian to keep us going on different occasions. We need to be thankful for our salvation. Romans 7, verses 24 and 25, he says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." So he's thankful that Jesus Christ came to bring us salvation, and we need to be thankful for that as well. We need to be thankful in all situations, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us. In everything give thanks. No matter what, we need to look for something to be thankful for. And we need to be thankful for those in authority. 1 Timothy 2:1 through 2 says, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." And that's a hard one for us sometimes, especially when the people who are in authority, whether it be in a family, in the church, in a school setting, a work setting, in government settings, local, state, federal, wherever it may be, when those people who are in authority disagree with us, when those who are in authority maybe don't do what we think they should do, or maybe they don't do what we know God wants them to do, it's hard for us to be thankful under those circumstances. And yet, the Bible tells us that we should. You know, there are more things to be thankful for in our lives. Our physical family, a country that we live in, the health that we have, material blessings, our mental abilities, our friends, nature, the beauty of it, and our planet, the things that God has created. There's so many fascinating things. So many things to be thankful for. That in fact, if we actually did, as the song that we sang before the lesson, "Count Your Many Blessings," if we actually started counting them, we might run out of time if we really, seriously counted every one of our blessings. What about you? Are you a thankful person or a grumbler? Do you look for the good in everything, or do you tend to see the bad first? See, God wants us to be thankful in every situation of life, no matter how bad it is. Thankfulness makes us more kind, patient, understanding, and appreciative of others, helps us to please them more, helps us to get along with them better, helps others to want to be around us. Do you like to be around somebody who's always griping, always complaining? It's not a pleasant place to be. And if we are that way, then we might not be surprised to find that people don't want to spend a lot of time with us. Are you thankful to God for His goodness to you? Do you want to please Him? If you want to please Him, you can. If you're not a Christian, you can please Him by becoming one today. The Bible is clear on that topic as well. If we'll hear the gospel, Luke 10:24, and believe it, Romans 3:21-22, and repent of our sins, Acts 26:20, be willing to confess Jesus as the Christ, John 12:42-43, there were some who wouldn't do that. If we're willing to be baptized, Acts 8:12, and rise to walk a new life with Him, His mercy is still there awaiting us. We can please Him. The angels in heaven rejoice when a sinner repents. If you're here and you are a Christian, perhaps you've done that, but you know, we've looked at one way today that you can please Him better. Give thanks. Be a person of gratitude. Have that proper spirit within you. And it may be something that you have to work on. Maybe it's something you need the prayers of the church. Maybe you've just grumbled and complained so long that it's become second nature to you. And you need some help and encouragement to overcome that. Today's the day. You see, God calls on us to live faithfully. He calls on us to be obedient to His will, and His will for each and every one of us as Christians is to give thanks in everything. If you need to respond to His invitation today, please come while we stand and sing.